God's word for you, Mark 5, 25 to 30, verses 25 and 26. But there was a woman there who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. She had suffered much under many physicians, spending all that she had, but she did not get better. She grew worse. This poor woman suffered from a terrible, continuous bleeding. It may have been fibroids or a discharge from her womb. A woman suffering from her period without any end to it, not even the 23 or 25 day respite that most women are relieved by each month. Whatever this was, it was blood from her body, and under the law of Moses, that made her unclean. According to Leviticus 15:19, anyone who even touched her while she was bleeding would be ceremonially unclean. Leviticus 19 says, when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days besides during the time of her monthly period, or when she has a discharge that lasts longer than her monthly period, she'll be unclean for as many days as her discharge continues, just as she is during her monthly period. During her discharge, any bed on which she lies is to be treated just like the bed during her monthly period. And every piece of furniture on which she sits will be unclean. It would be during the impurity of her monthly period. Anyone who touches them will become unclean. Not only was this woman suffering, but her family was suffering. Whether she lived alone or was unmarried or whether they were nearby, or it didn't matter. Her friends were suffering. Her neighbors suffered just because they had to tell their children to be careful not to touch her or go into her house. She suffered because she couldn't worship either. She couldn't enter into the synagogue or venture south to the temple in Jerusalem. She couldn't go shopping in the stalls of the town square. She probably had to have things brought to her. She had to rely on others for everything, other people who could not touch her. There must have been times when she wondered what the difference was between herself and a leper. She must have looked into her bronze mirror at home and wondered all of the questions. Why? How long? How come? When? If only. And then Jesus came. Verses 27 to 30. Now she had heard what was said about Jesus. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his robe. She thought, if I only touch his robe, I will get well. Immediately her flow of blood stopped. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her illness. Jesus knew in that moment that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" Perhaps the woman had heard that other people were healed by touching him. This is mentioned in Mark 3:9. She wanted to do the same thing, but she didn't think that she should touch his body, so she resolved just to touch his robe. It was bold enough. The common robe worn by men at this time was called a shimla, a big square of cloth that served as a cloak or a blanket when needed. The Jews wore it with tassels tied with blue cords to the corners in obedience with Numbers 15, 37 to 41. It's mentioned again in Deuteronomy. These tassels were a reminder to obey God's whole law. There are remarkable ways of taking what the woman did. In fact, all the different details of this account as an allegory. Some are so ingenious and brilliant that a commentator who's aware of them or who sees a new one on his own can hardly resist the temptation to share them, to impress upon God's people the necessity of trusting in the whole word of God, for example, both law and gospel you can see here, or how the woman might represent Israel itself, and so on and on. the recurrence of the 12 years twice in the account, the tassels, the healing of one person, and the first resurrection miracle that Jesus performed, the pairing of a child and a grown woman, of a man, the synagogue ruler at the top of society, and a woman who at this moment was an outcast from society. Active and passive healing, healing by touching or by being touched. The details are delightful, diverse, and delicious. However, the scriptures don't invite us to treat the text of God's word as an allegory. What we have before us is a woman in desperate need and a father, we haven't forgotten about Jairus and his dying daughter, who urgently needed the Savior to come to his home. She touched the edge of his robe, perhaps one of the tassels, and she was suddenly healed of her bleeding. And two more things happened. She felt in her body that she was healed. Was it a wave of relief, a sudden feeling of wellness? Was it like that wave of calm that passes through the body that some people can feel just before they fall asleep? Whatever it was, she knew that she was healed. Second, Jesus knew that he had healed her. Now, just how this awareness of divine power, of how divine power works, is a mystery to us. We have little to compare it with. Was it like speech? We know that we have spoken, and with God, to speak is to act and perform his almighty power. Or was it something different, like the use of a muscle, so that when a certain task is finished, we know that it has been done and accomplished, like twisting off the lid of a pickle jar, or the satisfaction of breaking a board in a karate exercise? Jesus knew. And that's really all we can say. But the crowd didn't know. To them, nothing at all had taken place, even though he had performed a miracle, and even though her whole life had just been changed. All of the troubles of her life that came from her condition were over. She could go to the synagogue once again. Jairus was very probably the ruler or leader of that synagogue. She could go out without shame or concern for other people. She could visit friends. She could know love again. Hold a child. Share a cup of wine with a friend. Dine with her neighbors. And live free of her illness at last. People would no longer look at her and think, "I'll be unclean for a day if I touch her." People could simply see her as herself once again. She had believed what she heard about Jesus' power. She had put her faith in him. She trusted him. Now she was healed. But now something new happened, something that she hadn't expected at all. Jesus noticed her, and he didn't let it pass by quietly. Suddenly the Lord himself was looking for her and asking, "Who touched my robe? Who touched me?" Was she in trouble? Was she going to be rebuked for not being bolder about her faith or about just reaching for him without asking first? Should she have behaved differently? What thousand questions flashed in her mind at that moment when his long, urgent strides suddenly stopped. He had been on his way to a home, the home of Jairus, to heal a dying girl. But now he stopped because of this woman. Why didn't he keep going? Why didn't he hurry? Why would he even wonder about her, this healed woman? Would she be responsible for the little girl's life just because she didn't wait until he had healed her first? Did guilt race through her mind? Had she sinned without knowing it? Well, that's not how the gospel works. Jesus needed her to know the importance of her faith, and he needed this crowd to know it too. Her action gave him the opportunity, and her questions would all be answered in just a moment. Yet it's also good for us to pause and consider this little moment, this fraction of a second, as Jesus stopped and turned and asked, "Who touched me?" In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.